Our reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 4, verses 30 to 41. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God bless to us our reading from his holy word. Amen. I mentioned in the newsletter this week that I did a bit of gardening on Thursday. Watered the garden. The sun was shining so brightly. It really was. I went in, put the hosepipe away, went in, and what happened? The heavens opened. I don't know if you saw it or you experienced it. The rain was bouncing off the houses opposite, the roofs opposite. It was like some biblical revelation, as if everything was thunderous and coming at one time. Why did I bother to water the garden? Tell me, why did I bother? Didn't I read the sign of the time? Didn't I notice that perhaps there were clouds? Then I did hear a bit of a rumble of thunder, but I didn't take any notice. I thought, I better get this done now, because otherwise all my little bedding plants will wilt and die. Oh, yeah, I know. The reality is, of course, that it came suddenly and unexpectedly. And it was a good thing, of course, because as seasoned gardeners say, rain is good for the garden. Well, of course it is, and we know that. That led me to think about a message I could share with you today. And my mind went to the events that we read of earlier in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus calms the storm of Lake Tiberias. He'd spoken to the people. He was tired. And so he took the opportunity to rest in the stern of the boat while the disciples themselves prepared the way to go to the other side. Now, you'd think that they were experienced fishermen. Surely they should have read the signs that there would have been a storm brewing. But obviously they were caught off guard, because in a very short time, a storm occurred. A qual, as they called it. Suddenly and unexpectedly. And this boat, this fisher boat, was caught in the middle of it. They were fearful for their lives. They thought they were going to die. And they said, "Jesus, you're sleeping. Please wake up. Don't you care if we drown?" These men had been with Jesus. Why do you think they responded like that? "Don't you care? We might drown." And Jesus didn't chastise them, but he said, "Look, where's your faith? All will be well. Don't worry." And then, of course, he calmed the storm. I imagine the disciples speaking about this afterwards, and it's recorded for us by Mark, when he said, "Who is this man? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey his voice?" That was the question they asked. Who is this man? Who is this one who can have mastery over creation? Little did they realize, dear friends, that the voice that calmed the storm that day is the voice that called creation into being. God in the midst of men, with power and majesty and authority over all things. That's the Christ of Scripture. That's the Christ of the Bible. The one who came into the world to declare to us the very heart of God. So the sudden storm. The disciples obeyed, "Let us go to the other side," and they sailed straight into a violent storm. Yeah, they were obedient. They did exactly what Jesus said. But they found themselves in the midst of storm. How often can that happen in your life, or mine even? when we are confronted suddenly and unexpectedly with those events in our lives when we find we're in the midst of the storm. Maybe health problems, it may be other problems, bereavement, sadness. Problems that come along in our daily living. Situations where we find ourselves bereft and alone. How do we handle that as Christians? Jesus is not asleep. Jesus is the one who cares. You know, when this happened to the disciples, he said to them, "Where is your faith?" He didn't chastise them, he just asked them the question. Where is your faith? The reality is that there are many people like that I've known. Perhaps they don't have any adherence to the Christian faith. Perhaps they have no real conception of who God is. But when circumstances of their lives are such that they find themselves in situations where they're in the midst of the storms of life, they tend to say, "Where is God in this situation? Why didn't God do something about it?" Like the disciples, they were unknowing of the reality that God is there all the time, that when we call upon him, he will answer our prayers. When we go through the storms of life, we know that God is with us in Christ. He is not asleep. He is caring for us. And our faith is strengthened in that knowledge. That hymn we sung, "It is well with my soul," an experience of the depth of despair and sadness that would have sent many a father to bitterness and question the reality of the presence of God. He was able to declare, "It is well with my soul." Why? Because he knew. And he knew in his heart that he was not bereft and alone in the midst of the tragedy that came to him. Because of the reality of that faith that we have when we trust and believe in him, in the Christ who can calm the storm. That's the experience of the saints of God. The experience of God from the very beginning. I was reading about Dietrich Bonhoeffer this week, the great Christian theologian during the time of the Second World War. He left the lecturing work he had in America to go back to Germany, Nazi Germany at that time, to speak against the evil of the Third Reich. And he was hanged in Flossenbürg just before the end of the Second World War, 38 years of age. And his declaration from prison, his letters from prison, reminds us of a faith that was facing the inevitability of death, and yet was confident in the words and in the experience here, "My Christ is not asleep. He will walk with me even to the gallows that day. And I will enter into that eternal promise that fades anything this world can offer. It is well. It is well with my soul." Whatever situations in your life today are causing you anxiety or concern, and I know some of you in this congregation are in that situation, be sure you are not alone. He is with you. He'll come and calm the storm, and he will see you through, and he will bring you through. And that is the guarantee of those who trust and believe in this God, in this Christ who has come. The sudden storm came like a mighty threat to the very lives of these men. They were fearful and afraid. We can understand that to a certain extent. "Where is your faith?" Jesus said. Our faith is grounded in the eternal goodness of God. Not in the empty philosophies of the world, but in the revelation of God's grace in Christ. And he who died upon the cross for our sins, was raised on the third day to give us that final authority over evil, death and the grave. It is well. It is well with my soul. The sudden storm, the sleeping Saviour. Your concept of God and mine can never be fully realised. You know that. I, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I've confessed that from this pulpit many times. AI, for instance. Do you understand AI? No idea how it works. No concept of how it operates. It works. And I just have to put a subject perhaps in the search engine, and there it comes. Do you know, I tell you one thing. I stopped myself going on AI. Because I could go on to AI, put this text in it, and get a sermon printed out ready for me. Yeah, I could do that. But I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm not just saying that this morning. Because it's not coming from me or from my heart. It's not coming from an experience I can share with you. It comes from somebody else's experience, and that is good sometimes. The hymn we just sung of Spifford's experience is a good thing to share. But when we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we believe that God calls those who proclaim the word to proclaim it in honesty and integrity, then we must be honest with each other, and we must seek to do the will of the Lord in every situation like this. And the reality is that here is the one who came to give us this message today. He was sleeping, and another thing I found interesting in this particular narrative, he was sleeping on a cushion in the boat. Now, think for a moment. This declares that Jesus was fully God and fully man when he came to this earth. He thirsted like you and I thirst. He could get tired when we got tired. There was a recognition here by the disciples, probably, that Jesus needed to rest, and to rest comfortably. They did that. They probably made sure of that. But when the hour of panic came, they had to disturb him. They had to shake him in order that he might respond to that situation in which he found himself. Friends, all I can tell you today is that we needn't be worried. What does Psalm 121 says? He who watches over you neither slumbers nor sleeps. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? And when Jesus gives of us his companionship and his presence, then that is there for us 24/7, 365 days a year. Now, I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand AI. I don't understand how it works. I really don't. But there again, I'm willing to recognize that. All I can do is receive it and to be joyful in it and to know that you and I have a Savior who does all this for us. We do not understand his ways, for our ways aren't his ways, and his ways aren't our ways. But here is a God who is constant in his care and love for his children. He's not sleeping on a cushion anymore. He's at your side and mine, and has given us that assurance, that presence is with us. He doesn't for one moment leave us on our own. His peace that day, It exposed the panic of these people in the midst of their need. But he just said, where's your faith? Don't you know me? Haven't you been with me such a time that you don't know who I am, in that I can accomplish all things? They'd seen him healing the sick. They'd seen him feeding the 5,000. Not yet had they been to Bethany, but they would have seen the day when he would have raised Lazarus from the dead, as he had power over the natural world around him, so he had power over death itself. That's the reality of the incarnation. That's the Christ of Scripture. Friends, if you don't believe in him, make the step of faith and come to an understanding of who Jesus is. Come to an understanding that he is beyond your understanding, yet he is your Savior and friend. He's been there. He knew the pain of the cross, the agony that he went through. He knows the depths of suffering because he's been there. We have a crucified God, as Muthman declares. There's no place, there's no dark of the night that he hasn't experienced it himself. And he gathers his flock unto his own, and he gives us that assurance as his people. So, dear friends, let's remember that today. Let's be sure that we can know his peace in our hearts, and the joy of his salvation with us 24/7. I remember many years ago when the children were small, we were on the beach somewhere, Pendine I think it was, and there was a family next to us, and this little girl said to her dad, Dad, she said, I want to get some ice cream. And the ice cream van in those days is to go on the beach, remember? The ice cream van is to be on the beach, and the ice cream was way, way down. And the father said to the little girl, no, you're not going, there's a lot of people around, I'm not willing for you to go. Oh, and she persisted, and in the end, you can go, but come back as soon as you can. As soon as the little girl started walking towards, do you know what the dad did? He went up on the promenade and he walked each step of the way. Every moment of that walk, he was watching her. He was at her side. She didn't know that. To the moment she came back with an ice cream cone and he ran back, he said, okay, that's great, everything's fine. He would not let her out of his sight. I thought, you know, that stuck with me over the years. It really has. That's the reality of a father's care. And you think that God doesn't care for you? Do you think he has no compassion for your understanding? Of course he has. Every step of the way he's at your side. And that's why we can face the sadnesses and the challenges of life that come our way, because we have a sovereign protector and he will see us through. He doesn't sleep in the storm. He was in the storm, but he came and conquered the storm, and he enables us to know that in our hearts and as his people in the days in which we live and move and have our being. Isn't it wonderful to know? We often sing that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. Now let me tell you, we do all our sins and griefs to bear. All of them, not few of them, all of them. God's impetus of love into this world is tremendous. He put every operation and every part of that love came in the Christ who was born to display to us the Father's heart of God. You have a God in heaven today who loves you. And we'll see you through. And that's why, dear friends, his peace sometimes exposes our panic. But he's there with us each step of the way. And then finally, dear friends, peace be still. The storm stops. The sea becomes calm. The disciples, I reckon now, were more afraid after the storm ceased than they were before. Because there's a sense, you know, in this, they're absolutely awestruck. There's a sense here is that they are in godly fear for what they had seen. Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey his voice? Who is this? They suddenly fully realized by now who was in the boat. This was not just their teacher, not just their healer, not just their prophet. This was the Lord of creation. Yeah. This was the Lord of creation. The God who threw stars into space. The hands that threw stars into space with the cruel name surrendered for the love that he would extend to you and me. Wondrous salvation here. Wondrous joy, wondrous peace. I don't know about you, but without this faith, I don't know how any can exist in the world. I really don't. For all the wranglings of those who seek authority, all those dictators, all those cruel dictators and warlords who cause endless suffering for so many millions of people because they're building up their own arrogance and their own domains. Sometimes they don't realize that it's only for a time. Only for a time. Do you know, here we have the Lord of creation. The one who created the ends of the earth was the one who had authority over all things. And Christ has authority over all things. Paul says, one day at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I pray we believe that this morning. I pray that we'll have an understanding of the reality of the incarnation, of the wondrous grace that has met with us in him who came, the one who was spoken of in the prophets, what was Isaiah declare him as. He is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All these things we have seen in Jesus of Nazareth. In him we have seen the fullness of God. In him we see the delight of the saints and the joy and peace we know that we are the children of God and that when we enter into a covenant with him, then we are encapsulated in a love and a protection and a peace that will secure us not only for now but for eternity. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer and those others through the ages who have trusted and believed in the redeeming work of Christ, the reward is theirs. For the world will go to hell, but the those who are in Christ will find that day, one day when in his presence we will glory his name forever as the one who has calmed the storm and has given us peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. The reality of it all. Because he is God. Fully God and fully man. The reality of the incarnation is declared here. The God of all creation calmed the storm at Lake Tiberias. And he can calm the storm in your life. And he can give you peace in the midst of the storm. And he can give you the assurance that all will be well in his time and in his keeping. I know life can be tough. And then many, as I said earlier, are asking, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Did you care? Of course he does. As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's the reality of the one who calmed the storm, and who calms the storm in your life and mine, and gives us that living hope. That living hope, as we see a world so divided, and as in our own life sometimes when the storms come. May we, like Francis Spafford, in that experience, be able to declare, "It is well. It is well with my soul. Jesus is in the storm with me, and Jesus will calm the storm and bring me home rejoicing." That's the reality. That's the joy. That's the peace that you and I can know today. Born out of an experience of God's grace, in that Christ who came, who lived and died and was raised from the dead, that we might know that eternal peace. That's why we praise him. That's why we give honour and glory to his name. Because there is another like unto him. And that's why today, as we look upon our troubled and dark world, we know and we hear the words of him, "Be still and know that I am God." And in all those things, we give thanks.